One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You are right in saying, 'He is one and there is no other than He,' and to love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Seems like every time we turn around, Jesus is being asked another question. This time, a scribe comes forward and asks, "What is the first of all the commandments?" We have to remember, when we hear the commandments, we tend to think of the Ten Commandments, but actually there are 613 commandments listed in the Torah. And he is asking Jesus, "Well, which is the first of all?" Jesus responds with the first part of a Jewish prayer known as the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." We heard in today's first reading that Moses gave the people the Shema. Moses being the great savior of the people, being the one who God used to show his power and might to Pharaoh so that the people would be released from slavery. It's such an important part that of their lives that for observant Jews, the Shema is recited twice a day. It kind of reminds us Christians of an important prayer as well, that known as the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father, given to us by our Savior, Jesus Christ. And in fact, it's such an important prayer, and one that we probably can pray at the drop of a hat. It's such an important prayer, though, that the Catechism devotes a whole section looking at that prayer line by line and understanding the deeper meaning in those words. So I just want to take a few moments to examine this prayer that Jesus responded to that question. "Hear, O Israel." Now, most people in ancient times were unable to read. They heard God's word as proclaimed in the temple or the synagogues. They listened intently to try to understand how God could be speaking to them, how God could be telling them the way to righteousness. Today, we refer to that as active listening. Back then, they probably just called it listening, and then they tried to incorporate that word into their daily lives. "The Lord our God is Lord alone." Now, the Jewish people were not the only ones who believed in one God. But during Jesus' time, this was quite the novelty. After all, the Romans and the Greeks had gods for planting crops, for waging war, for protection, for granting them children. Each God was someone that you would either pray to or offer sacrifices to, depending on your intention. Well, for the Jewish people as well, they prayed for different situations in their lives, different emotions as well. They prayed about joy, relief in being delivered from illness, sorrow about being abandoned by friends, relief that they have been forgiven by God. These prayers have been brought together into what is known as the Book of Psalms in our Bible. Every human emotion is expressed in those prayers. Every human situation can be found in those 150 prayers. But unlike others, all of them are directed to one God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of their fathers. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. We could summarize that by saying you are to love God completely. He is to be the most important person in one's life. He is to be the most important desire of one's soul. He is to be the number one thought in one's mind. And to remind them of this truth, they were commanded to recite that prayer each and every day. So Jesus offers this prayer in answer to that scribe's question, which is the greatest? But he doesn't stop there. He then offers the second greatest commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And in those two commandments, loving God and loving our neighbor, all 613 of those commandments are summarized. Now, Jesus wasn't really doing anything new by saying you need to love God and love your neighbor. After all, the scribe, one of the teachers of the law, commended Jesus for pointing these out. But what's new is that Jesus is the Son of God, and he came into this world not only to demonstrate how we are to love God and neighbor, but to break down the barriers of sin and death that stand in the way of abiding by these commandments. A seminary professor talked about it, because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we are freed to love. The barriers of sin and death have stood between us and God since the beginning of our history. Those barriers have been smashed by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. They also were barriers between us and one another. We are now freed to love because Jesus' love is perfect and everlasting because he is God. Now we heard in the second reading, Jesus, because he remains forever, has a priesthood that does not pass away. Therefore, he is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them. This is a beautiful truth of our faith. Our God is not remote, but rather is close to us, because his Son was born of Mary, was fully human as well as divine. He laughed, he cried, he became hungry, tired, and even cranky. But he did not sin, because he is the Lord our God. He demonstrated that love by dying on the cross. But also it mentions at the very end of that passage I shared with you, because Jesus is the Son of God, he is the perfect intercessor for us. Moses, interceded many times for the people to God, praying that God would be merciful to them. But he was not a perfect intercessor. He was a sinner, and because of his sin, he was not even allowed to enter into the promised land at the end of their 40-year journey in the desert. But Jesus is the perfect intercessor. He knows what we truly need. We are so precious to him that he wants what is best for us, to continue our life of drawing close to God. There are many times when we pray to him, maybe asking for something that we think we need. And I can just see Jesus in heaven just kind of shaking his head, saying, "No, that's really not what you need. You need to be more trusting, patient, humble, whatever it is." Because he knows what is in our hearts, because he knows that to turn to God with our whole mind, our whole hearts, means we have to put aside things in our lives. That's why he is the perfect intercessor. He knows what we truly need to continue our life of drawing closer to God. My dear friends, that same Jesus who responded to that scribe, that same Jesus who was born of Mary, that same Jesus who died on the cross for us all, we encounter in a very real way every celebration of the Eucharist. We are privileged that he offers himself for us as the perfect sacrifice, as the perfect gift, to break down those barriers that sin and death has put between us and God, promising us the gift of eternal life and enabling us to love God with our whole mind, our whole heart, our whole being. It is in approaching that perfection of love that we grow into who we were created to be, sons and daughters of the living God.